Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by ICOM. For more information, visit ICOMAmerica.com/HamNation and by DX Engineering. DX Engineering offers practically everything you need to outfit your shack, plus the fastest shipping in the industry. In-stock items ship the same day, Monday through Friday, until 10 p.m. Eastern. For more information, visit DXEngineering.com/HamNation.
This is Ham Nation, episode 197 for May 20th, 2015. We survived Dayton. Good evening and welcome to another episode of Ham Nation. Good to be back with you this week. We've just returned from Dayton Hamvention, and boy, what a year it was this year. Bob is not with us tonight. He's on the road. And unfortunately, our friend Don Wilbanks won't be with us tonight either because he had a lightning strike and he really lost a lot of gear in that, but he's working on recovering there, and hopefully he'll be back with us soon. But let's say hello to our good buddy who did survive Dayton, Gordo. Hi, Gordo.
Hi there, George. And yes, we did survive Dayton, and hi to the many Ham Nation supporters that helped staff the booth. And this weekend, although it's a holiday weekend, on May 23rd, the Clovis amateur radio team at Farmers Electric Co-op in Clovis, New Mexico, they're having a tailgate party May 23rd. So, Georgia, we've been invited, so I hope to see you there. Back to you, George.
Well, that sounds like a lot of fun, Gordon. Sorry, we can't be there, but y'all have a big time. We do have a couple of other of the usual suspects in here tonight, though. First off, we've got Dale, and he's going to be bringing us some great videos tonight. Hi, Dale.
Hey, very good. Dan in 9LVS, our wiki man, did a tremendous job up in Dayton, and we can't wait to show you. We've got about three separate videos that star a cast with all the suspects. So back to you, George.
Thanks, Dale. We'll be looking forward to that. And we've also got the guy with the fresh pork, the new ham here tonight. Hi, Christian.
How are you, everybody? It's good to be with you tonight. Yeah, tonight we're going to meet a guy who we seem to find these ways into ham radio. Some of our fathers, in my case, my dad was an amateur. Some of us are broadcasters or engineer types. This guy got frustrated on the highways in Boston, decided to figure out a way that he could get all the latest traffic and news and that sort of thing right there in his rig and became a ham. So I'll introduce you to him tonight. Back to you, George.
Well, thanks, Christian. Yeah, let's just talk about Dayton for a moment before we get on into the short shots here. Gordon was there, and Christian was there, as well as some of the other Ham Nation hosts that we'll be seeing a little bit of them in the shortly here. But, Gordo, what do you think about 2015? Was it a banner year?
I think Dayton was fabulous. I think about the same amount of people this year as we had last year. But the mood, as you'll see in my short shots coming up, was spectacular. I mean, there was all sorts of things going on that we haven't seen since the old days of Dayton. So, yep, it was a great show. Back to you, George.
Well, Christian, I saw you there. How many Hamventions have you been to, or was this your first one?
This was my first, and clearly my first. See? So I came in on Wednesday. We did Ham Nation Live. So then the next day was Contest University. And so I was busy that day. And so Friday was kind of my day off to roam around, and everybody else was working. And I met George there in person. We said hello, but he was going to interview a celebrity for Amateur Logic. Gordo had a line of people around the convention hall passing tests. He was honking his horn. He probably has it there with him. But Bob was working. Valerie was working. So I basically was, you know, making my way around, deciding if I should buy a $40,000 tower. Somebody said, no, don't. You can't buy anything. You can't. Like, I could buy it anyway, but that was an option. I didn't know if you were supposed to buy everything. It was a lot to take in, but it was a lot of fun, too.
So what do you think? Did it live up to everything you've heard over the years?
It really did. I think that next year I need to hang out with you. I told Dr. Bob maybe we need to walk around the flea markets together, Gordo, and just kind of check things out. It'll be better with people. You know, I was kind of by myself, and I was really overwhelmed. Like, I'd like to have that. That's really cool. What do you do? But it really did. But next time I'm going to walk with a friend because there's a lot of impulse things flashing and beautiful old rigs in the flea market area and a lot of new great stuff, too. I mean, it was really amazing. A lot to take in for sure.
Well, I'm sorry we couldn't hang out with you more. We were so busy there this year. And, of course, Gordo and Bob, you can hardly beat through the crowd to get to those two. They're so busy there. But Gordo, he looks like he survived. You know, you got to be careful going in there your first year alone. You could get lost.
You sure could. Hey, Christian, get your boots on because we're going to take a walk right now. And Brian, if you'll go ahead and open up the shots and let's go for a quick short shots tour of the Dayton Hamvention. Here we go. First of all, let me tell you, it took all day Thursday to get Bob and Sarah's setup all set up. They had 100 feet of space. Now, I had to hurry because I got marooned in Dallas-Fort Worth with, as you can see, a little bit of weather. But on Thursday morning, as they were setting up, look at this, no one in the parking lot. Well, no one until about 10 o'clock in the morning. Whoops, watch out. Watch that first parking spot as you back up. You found out the hard way. A lot of neat antennas that were going up, and these were mobile. I wondered why people had the plastic. Christian, we'll tell you why in just a moment. And you had to set up and avoid the rivers that form up when the skies open up. This is on Thursday. This Hamvention isn't even open, and they are out there in earnest. And the big deal is you go to where the big trucks are because they come out with tons of gear. And when I say tons, look at this pallet. It weighs probably a ton with those heavy transformers. This is neat stuff. And it was all happening on even before the day that the Hamvention was in full swing. And, of course, those with pick-em-ups, you had to bring in your own pick-em-up radio station. Those with full view of the road had all their radios at hand. And look at this. This fella comes in with a smart car from New York City. And it took him about an hour to open up his body, but he got it open, and the smart cars survived. Saturn loops. Boy, there were some great antennas out there. I love that. This one was mobile, and I bet it caught a few birds along the way. But at Dayton Hamvention, out in the parking lot, you see a lot of very strange but very efficient antenna systems. Well, what can I say? The Stepper IR, not quite mobile, but it towered over everything. Need to get your antenna launcher upsized. They had one for sale as well. That'll definitely do a couple of acres. And, of course, antennas on hats. The Spirit was there. Yep, and he's got the heat sinks to show it. And this is what I like. The ladies outdid themselves. KB3, OQB, you did it. And you'll see later on it lights up. Now, on the swap meet, there were brand new items, such as brand new antennas. They were used antennas, a lot of high band UHF and VHF from PDs that have gone to 800. And if ever you needed a military antenna mast, here they are with all the bases ready to go at ridiculously low prices. Duplexers, cavities, triplexers, they were available from 6 meters on up. And let me tell you, how about $5 a radio working? Yep, probably old UHF, VHF radios on police and fire frequencies. Now they've gone to 800. These radios were literally a steal. Remember the old days, the CB radio? Well, this fella had converted a whole bunch of them to the 10-meter band. How many? more than you would want to know. But he's big time on the air. Yes, sir, with CB Radio's galore. Look at this, an old police radio's back in the late 40s, 50s. You know what he's pointing at? This radio chassis is all copper. How's that for keeping the RF out of the PD's vehicle? Pretty neat. Of course, Zenith Transoceanics. These are fairly common, but look at this Zenith. This was more than a transoceanic. This was the pilot. And I said, can we take a look at the inside? He says, sure. And look at that. The antenna you'd take off and put against the window. Really neat things. Not going for huge bucks out at the Dayton swap meet. That was going full time. And military radios, there were bunches of them. And there's our military man making a 75-meter contact. This fella has a backpack on and a big, huge antenna. He's on the air having a good time. And Jim's Engraving, who made our Ham Nation QSL cards. Thank you, Jim. I got some tubes for you, maybe, that you can spot. Speaking of tubes, if ever you needed a tube, there were plenty available. So, Christian, you would have fun out there because we'll let you go ahead and test them with an archaic old tube tester that was still working, says the seller. And if you're into audio, wow, look at this. Macintosh, you could have a steak dinner on this. It was so clean. And this was glass. And boy, I'll tell you, if ever you needed an antenna light, Tim Duffy, we can put one of those on your tower. There you go. Look at this, a Swan 350C for $150, and it included that power supply to the left. There's more audiophile gear. Some of this stuff was gorgeous. And, of course, it was all turned on so you could play it and listen to it. Swan 350 for $200. Wow. Talk about deals. And this stuff works. Here's a have no idea. Chat room, help me. What is this? But it was clean as a whistle for a couple $100, I believe. What a neat deal. And look at this. You can homebrew your own, well, it looks like a tuner. Again, not sure, but that's a neat thing about going to Dayton at the swap meet. You can look at this stuff. That's definitely a transmitter with loading on it. Wow, neat stuff. And it says don't touch, probably high voltage. Look at this, even with a cat's eye. Wow. And a lot of CW keys out there as well. And there's a little, looks like a crystal set. Maybe it's a tuner. No, it's a crystal set. There it is. And for you maritime mobile folks like Dale, good radio direction finder, that'll help you get home on low frequency. Maybe that'll tune into our own ham bands. And we're trusting in Dayton. This guy just leaves the stuff and you want to buy it, you call him on his cell phone because he's looking for more capacitors. Yeah, just a few available at the Dayton swap meet. Big coils and capacitors. Yep, just a few available. Your own mixer board. There we go. That's pretty nice. That's available at a fraction of the new price. And look at this. K8SVT, Marlon Lloyd. And we made a deal on these ham radio stamps. Isn't that neat? Wow. Thanks so much, Marlon. And if you need knobs, we got knobs. Wire junction posts, they got those as well. I mean, acres of this stuff. Telegraph keys, Yahoo. CW lived at Dayton. And it was fun. You need a PL259 or an adapter or an end connector or a whatever. I mean, there are just tons of these at the Dayton Hamvention. So whatever you're looking for, it was out there. 1,000+ of the spots for selling. And how about a dummy load? Maybe about 5,000 watts capable. Yeah, it's all one dummy load. Uh-oh, watch the weather. Watch the weather at Dayton because it can sneak up on you. At this point, everybody was covering up their goods with plastic. The weather service was saying, oh, just a little quickie front. We really had good weather except for just this quick one. And out of nowhere, it moved in on us. Everybody covered up their display. That was the lightning that Don had. Don, that's for you, and we're so sorry about your gear. But luckily, no lightning. But still, people continued to swap, Christian, inside these tents with the gear covered up, well, almost covered up. We had a little bit of wind for a moment. That went flying. That's Frank, AA2DR. He ducked this one, and that guy wiped out his truck with someone else's canopy. I mean, canopies were flying for just about 1 or 2 minutes. Some were anchored down well, and there everything survived. And then it cleared up, and it was back to swapping again. So this is neat stuff. And Brian, if you'll go ahead for section two of the short shots, we'll go ahead and do that. And as Brian is getting up section two of the short shots, I want to remind everybody that this is Safe Boating Week, National Safe Boating Week. So wear your personal flotation device. We've got it right here. That is your life jacket. Wear your life jacket if you're going out this holiday weekend on the water. Even though it may be just a slight little lake cruise, be prepared because that's what's happening, safety out on the water this weekend. So now back to fair weather. Look at this. Some great old-time radios after the weather had cleared. Oh, my gosh. Look at this. This is a Drake UB3. It would have sold in a second had they opened up the top and you would have seen the gold-plated plug-in boards. Now, always tune in to when you see everybody gathered around. What's going on here in this tent? Well, he was like the digital guy, the Moto Turbo and many of the other digital modes. He had ICOM gear and Yaesu gear and Kinect Systems gear. Also, check out the live satellite booth that was on the air giving new hams and a lot of kids their first time at satellite. Enigma, they had the code deciphering machine that you saw in the movie. It was here live and direct. And, of course, you can't walk the swap without a few tube steaks or burgers. These were the best because they were on the real live coals. Well, there's our friend again inside the ham radio booth, the W5YI booth. And we didn't realize it, but her hair did light up. DX Engineering, what a inside group they were. This is just one quarter of their entire team. Look at this. They got 100 feet, and they are specialists. So if you ask a certain question, they'll send you down the line to these specialists. They were happy. They were smiling. And the DX Engineering really did a fabulous job. Now, Bob and Sarah, their whole 100-foot booth was just honking the whole time, and we're going to show you some of the neat headsets that they have. And let me tell you, thank you, thank you, for those that volunteered to stand booth duty at the Ham Nation booth. We really appreciate your help. Well, there's Dr. Scove, and she's getting ready, talking to George and Bob to present her program. And it was standing room only in a 100 capacity room. Absolutely amazing. Valerie was there. She was standing tall. Boy, she is a tall lady. And she came on and gave some nice talks as well. And kids, a lot of kids there at Dayton this year, much more than we've seen before, and they were happy. Look at that kid getting ready to pass the test. And the ladies, of course, had to sport their latest watch. That's a Samsung, and we saw one of the other watches there as well. Ellie Craft was live equipment and just doing their thing out of the Ellie Craft booth with the KX3 and the K3. And, oh, they were having a great time. Phil was tuning things around. And that's Don Arnold and Leo Famy, the DX guy on 6 meters. Don, the AVMAP guy and the Kenwood guy. Look at this. All sorts of live equipment. So when you were inside, didn't mean that that radio gear they were demonstrating could not be demonstrated. And of course, the big TS-990. Oh, yum, 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 yum. Great rigs. But let me tell you, Ray was everywhere. ICOM was everywhere. D-Star was everywhere. ICOM did it up big. So big that we're going to be on the air on field day with a 9100. We're going to operate satellites. We're going to work weak signal. And we're even trying to do some tropo all the way from here to Hawaii. So let's hope that the band conditions on tropospheric ducting remain good. But let me tell you, ICOM was the king when it came to digital with D-Star. And, of course, we had to do a little instructor mooching as well with our Instructor Academy. It's a free that we do for ham instructors. We got the kids involved again, blew up a few pickles, and we also got some old-time hams. Dave Bell, he's lighting off a pickle or two at a former get-together. And talk about towers, that's Eric Nichols, technical editor for Master Publishing, KL7AJ. He wanted to take that one home, but I don't think it was available. And if you needed to get a checkout, well, that would be your radio gear. The American Radio Relay League had 25 individual booths. And that's Steve Ewald, the emergency... Oh, I need to say public serviceman, WV1X, showing off those cases that went overseas. Bob Inderbetson, NQ1R. Bob's the one to go to when you need something to happen at the league. And, of course, the main man, Dave Sumner, K1ZZ. Look at that big area that was absolutely stuffed with eager hams ready to have a great time. And if you look carefully at the map on the bottom right, you'll see that there were over 80 to 100 countries of ham radio operators that were there at the Dayton Ham Radio Convention. So, Christian, it was good. And George, it was great to see you. And we've got more Dayton coming up. And I look forward to seeing all of you in Irving, Texas for HamCon coming up June 12 and 13. So come on to HamCon. We'll see you live and direct. And George, that's my story from Dayton, Ohio.
Well, Gordo, that is quite a story. And boy, you gave us a good glimpse into what goes on there. We're going to have some more of that in just a minute here. But first, I think that Brian's got some photos there from Don. You know, Don couldn't be with us this week. Oh, my goodness. I don't even know what that is. It's so burned.
It's a bad melon.
Yeah. Yep. I think you're right. And boy, that's the... Looks like the inside of a fried TS-2000, I believe.
Oh, wow.
Man. Oh, and that's where I think maybe it was his tuner was sitting on top, burned a hole in there.
Wow.
This.
Oh, it's a goner.
That is, maybe that's a DV dongle, whatever it
that's
is. It's not any
DV dongle. Yep, very dead.
Oh, gee, Don. Man, sorry to see you have such bad luck. I had a strike like that here, I don't know, 15 years ago or so. Got a lot of stuff, and it's never any fun. But he is on the way to recovery now. I think he's, I know he's got his satellite TV back on. He doesn't, I believe, have his internet yet and his laptop and his radios and all of that. But he's working on it, and hopefully we'll be back here with us soon. Boy, you might hear that thunder out there right now. I hope that's not about to come in my shack here. But let's take a break right now and get a message from ICOM, and we'll be right back.
Out from the shack and into the sun. Brighten your day with ICOM's selection of handhelds, mobiles, and HF rigs. Step outside with ICOM's ID51A Plus Digital Dual Bander. Features include free downloadable RSMS-1A Android app, near-me repeater function for D-Star as well as analog repeaters, and integrated GPS. Hit the road with ICOM's analog IC2730A mobile or the digital ID5100A with internal GPS. Both radios include optional Bluetooth capability for hands-free operation, 50 watts output power on both VHF and UHF, and a large backlit screen for high-contrast viewing. Get mobile with ICOM's IC7100 D-Star radio, which provides multiband and all-mode communications and an angled control head and touchscreen for user-friendly operation. For solid HF operation this season, try ICOM's IC7600. This rig offers advanced DSP technology and three IF roofing filters, dual watch on the same band, and LED backlighting on an ultra-wide 5.8-inch display. Let ICOM brighten your day with their selection of handhelds, mobiles, and HF rigs. Make sure you visit iComAmerica.com/amateur today for more information on ICOM's complete line of amateur radio products. And you can tune in and enter to win after each episode of Ham Nation. Go to iComAmerica.com/hamnation. Throw your name in the hat for some great swag prizes like T-shirts or hats. And you can also learn how you could win in the monthly grand prize drawing for a new radio. And for May, boy, that thunder is really loud out there. For May, the grand prize is going to be the ID5100A dual band, dual watch mobile with touchscreen D-Star, GPS receiver, repeater list up function, and a lot more. So sign up, good luck, and don't forget to follow ICOM America Incorporated on Facebook and Twitter. Go to icomamerica.com/hamnation for the official rules and to check out all of ICOM's previous drawing winners. Thanks for that, ICOM. Well, we've got some more. We won't call these short shots because I don't know how quick we'll get through them. These came from various photographers. Simon Stannard, ZL2FAE. Simon was there helping out with all the Ham Nation activities. And he even supplied T-shirts for the volunteers in the booths there. He shot some shots for us. Jim, W5JCS, had some contest university shots for us. And Adam, KC0OUZ, had some shots as well. So let's take a look at the first one here. And this is Bob and Tom Medlin, W5KUB. Tom was interviewing Bob at the Heil booth there where they were showing the new Heil PR-10s, Pro 7 headsets, the LB1R lighted microphone bases. Here is a shot from the Ham Nation booth. It's, if you look right there in the middle, the guy with the yellow card, that is Simon from New Zealand there, who brought everyone those nice T-shirts they're wearing. The next shot is from the Dayton 2015 Contest University. There is Christian and Bob and Valerie, and this was from last week's Ham Nation, I believe. The next one is Tim Duffy, along with Jim, W5JCS at Contest University. After that, another Contest University shot here. They were waiting for Bob to do his presentation. After that, one more from Ham Nation last week at Dayton Contest University. There's Steve there, along with Bob and Valerie. After that, let's see what we've got here. It's Valerie, Bob, Terry, Christian, Tim, Ray. Oh, boy. I don't know who all's there. Christian, were y'all having a good time?
You know, that was a post show there after we did Ham Nation this time last week. And, you know, it was a crowded room of people. It was a live show, and everybody really did have a great time for sure.
Boy, now this is from the front of the Ham Nation Forum. Simon took this picture for us, and he also got one from the rear. So you can see it's pretty much completely packed out there. And then we've got one. I don't know these two guys here. This is just
a random shot.
He does look good, the guy with the car shirt there. And here's Bob. Yeah, Bob and I talking with Tamitha, you know, the lady who stands in front of the sun. And, of course, here is Bob and myself seated there, and then there's three kids. Oh, wait a minute. One of those is not a kid. next, we've got Bob and Gordo and Valerie. And then we've got one of Bob and myself. And I don't even know what we were talking about, but it looks like we were having a good time.
Absolutely.
Then here's the crowd here. They were asking some questions that we answered. And this one here, this is one of the most coveted items that you can get at Hamvention. It's Gordo giving an autograph there. Gordo, what were you signing? One of the books?
One of the books, as well as the instructor certificate for those that became ham radio instructors, plus certificates for those many hams that did testing right there at the Ham Fest, actually down the street, but they came back to get their official test results, and the majority passed, and they all had call letters the very next day. And Mitch Stern did a great job with his class on scene as well.
Oh, that looked like y'all were, I don't know, swamped every time I came by you there. Well, we've got a few more here. We've got one. This is from the ICOM America booth. Tommy and I did a live episode of Amateur Logic Saturday afternoon there. ICOM hosted that, and boy, we really had a great time. There's Ray. The next one here is our friend Joe Eisenberg, K0NEB. He's the kit editor for CQ Magazine, as well as he does some editing with the ARRL now. And then there's Ted Randall, WB8PUM, from QSO Radio Show. We also had several other folks there that don't have pictures of: Michael Coulter from Dayton Hamvention, Tim Duffy, the Ham of the Year, Gulf Fan Durin, the DV Mega Guy, Gordo, and Mike Morneau, our friend VE3MIC, who you see in the chat room a lot. Now, here's another one with Tamitha and Bob and Gordo. This was during the Tech Guy show. I wasn't able to make that because I was over at the ICOM booth, but boy, it looks like they were having a great time there. Well, we appreciate everyone who submitted those pictures there. We got a lot of other pictures, too. We weren't able to include them all here. But we appreciate everyone who submitted those to us. And I guess right now, you know, we were just talking a little earlier about Tamitha there and some of the fun that was going on at Hamvention. This was her first year, and she's not a ham yet, but she's working on it. Well, you know, Don had that lightning strike, and so he can't be with us this week, and we're not going to have our normal news report there, but we do have the space weather, so let's take a look at that now.
Hi, I'm Tamitha Scove with your solar storm forecast for the week of May 20th. The sun is pretty much zeroed out when it comes to flares, but we're doing pretty well on solar storms. If you happened to catch my forecast last week at the Dayton Hamvention, you'll recall we did have a filament eruption that was earthward, and it did cause a disturbance at Earth back on the 18th. But since then, we've actually had three other filament eruptions. All of them are headed pretty much northeast of Earth, but we might see a little bit of a disturbance around the 20th to the 21st. Now, outside of that, we've been watching this filament here that is trying to erupt, but it's not doing a really good job. We're keeping an eye on it. And then also this region down here was pretty much quiet the other day, but now it's beginning to show signs of life. So we're keeping an eye on that for you. Switching to your M-flare threat meter, you can see the last time we actually did have an M-class flare was back on the 13th, and it barely qualified. Since then, we've really descended below the seafloor, and pretty much all of the active regions are moving off to the West Limb, and we're not getting any new players to replace them. So things may continue to be quiet for a little while. Returning to the disk, you can see regions 23, 39, 41, and 42 are now moving off of the West Limb, and there's not a lot coming on to replace it. We do have region 23, 48, and 49, which are showing some level of activity, especially region 23, 49 in the last 24 hours or so. But none of these happen to be M-flare players at the moment, and without a backside monitor stereo, we really don't know what's coming around the bend. Switching to your solar flare and particle radiation storm outlook for the coming week, as you can see, everything is green. We really don't have any active regions that are M-flare players this week. We might see some activity in region 2349. It is beginning to show signs of life, so we'll be watching that closely. But until that time, we really aren't expecting much, and definitely not expecting anything in terms of particle radiation storms. So the amateur radio bands are looking pretty good. So the space weather this week looks like it's going to be reasonably quiet. We don't have any Earth-directed solar storms, but we do have that one that's going north of us that could graze us or give us at least some wake effects starting around the 20th through the 21st. That, coupled with a high-speed stream, if the wind is fast on us, could actually push us into storm levels and give us some aurora. Outside of that, we have another chance for a high-speed stream hitting us around the 24th, and that could give us more aurora possibilities. So, you aurora photographers, all hope is not lost. Just because we're in the declining phase doesn't mean we're not going to see any more aurora. But for you amateur radio operators and GPS operators, you should be quite happy. The bands look like they're going to be reasonably clear, except for these short periods of fast wind that could cause some storms. I'm Tamitha Scove. Thank you for watching.
Well, thanks, Dr. Scove. And hopefully we'll also have Don back with us next week. Not sure yet, but he is working on recovering there. And now, I think, Christian, you've got some more new hams to introduce us to this week, don't you?
That's right. This week, we're going to meet a ham we talked to a couple weeks ago. And in the coming days, I'm going to take you for an inside look and follow two high school hams that were with me during Contest University in Dayton, my certificate. I can tell you some of the really big guns were there. The best in the world were at Contest University. And I know for a fact that none of them would like to have me on their teams, at least at this point. But let's get back to the Boston Marathon, a hot topic here in the news lately. We talked to this guy a little bit before we left for Dayton, and I want to share his story. He basically got frustrated on the highways going through Boston. If you've ever driven through there, you may relate. But he picked up, went mobile. Next thing you know, he got into service. Let's meet Patrick. On this episode, we meet a new ham from the Boston area, Patrick, KC1AJT. He goes from an interest in mobile communications to service. Let's meet Patrick now. Patrick, welcome to Ham Nation.
Thanks for having me.
Let's start off a little bit with your interest in ham radio. I know by reading some of your background, you're into technology. Where did it all begin, and when did ham radio spark an interest?
Well, I guess I've been interested in technology and electronics from a very early age. My dad was actually an engineer at a switch manufacturing company in just outside Boston.
And doing some research, you've got your own blog, so you can look up Patrick's call sign, KC1AJT, and read about some of the things and the projects that he's taking on. And I did dip a little bit into that doing my research. And you go from being this mobile guy, which you still are, obviously, to the public service aspect of this. And now a really hot topic right now is the Boston Marathon trial. So we know he was found guilty on 30 counts. He's facing the death penalty now, if that happens in your state for the first time in 62 or 63 years. You went and worked or volunteered to work the Boston Marathon the following year. I'd love to learn a little bit more about that. I'm sure there's a little bit of secrecy in the planning, but if you will, take us back to you wanting to volunteer and what those first training sessions were like for the next marathon.
Well, as you can imagine, the Boston Marathon isn't just about an event. As they've portrayed it on television, it's about the culture of the state. The Boston Marathon is the only remaining marathon that is 26 linear miles rather than a loop. It goes from Hopkinton, Massachusetts, into downtown Boston. So you have a number of towns and cities along the way that line the streets to watch this event. And I grew up going with my mom's family every year to see the marathon from Newton, Massachusetts, just outside Boston, at about mile, I think it's 18. And so when I was here at school in 2013, it was very difficult. And in the following weeks, a lot of my family was in lockdown while that manhunt played out. And I saw the 2014 Boston Marathon as a way for me to give back for this awesome event.
So tell me about the training that went into it. I know there's a bit of a secret. They didn't want to, maybe it's a looser understanding now, but going in the following year, the tactical planning, what were some of the things that you had to learn and prepare for?
So over the past 2 years, they've offered hams the ability to come to what they call the Boston Marathon Medical Symposium. And this is two different sessions. You can pick one and attend it. And basically, you're attending the same training symposium that your doctors and nurses and medical volunteers are attending. And this year, they've swapped it up a little bit due to some different logistical changes. But overall, we have a great team of leadership representing communications. And the communications team is made up of state police officers. You've got the Massachusetts Emergency Management Agency. You've got the BAA, the Boston Athletic Association. And you've got five hams in there as well. So the communications team is made up of some very brilliant minds to get the best communications plan together.
So you're in the fabric of that community. I think that's a great tie-in right now. It's still a very sensitive issue. It doesn't solve a lot, but maybe there's some justice and some healing happening there. So congratulations on your work with the marathon and really engaging in your community. I want to finish up by asking you the importance of social media. You're involved on Facebook with a ham radio Facebook page, and you can give that out. That's totally fine with me. But tell me, you know, why you think social media is important in advancing and maintaining this hobby and service.
So the ham radio Facebook page that I'm involved in, it's called Ham Radio Operators on Facebook, if anybody wanted to look it up. We have well over 15,500 members right now from all over the world. And it's people can come, if you don't have a local Elmer, ask any question, post what you're up to. We've got some great minds in there from not only the ham community, but you could have people from the broadcast community too, and you can have electronics experts in there. So any question that people are able to come up with, chances are somebody's going to give them an accurate answer on this group.
I think it's great. I hope that you'll continue to do that and keep us updated on your the service aspect of what you're doing, and I hope your mobile rig increases and you get a porcupine setup going on your car. I think you're doing great work on social media fronts and in your community, so I applaud you for that. Patrick, KC1AJT, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Studying software right now. He's in New York City, but traveling to Finland, working on a project there with some students, still heavily into the service aspect. And with the social media stuff, sure, I mean, he doesn't have an HF rig at the moment. So he's cultivating some stuff in there, question and answers. He's also letting people know more emergency stuff with Nepal, organizing supplies and things like that, and the needs for radios and that sort of stuff. And luckily here, we're stateside, and we don't have to worry as much as they do in Nepal. One of the great reasons why is because we have DX Engineering.
All right, here's a problem a lot of hams have. They want to get active on HF, but no space for a big Yagi or other directional antenna. It's a problem. A lot of ham radio operators have wrestled with for decades. You live on a little tiny lot, you can't put up anything big. Well, DX Engineering has the ideal solution. The slim, compact, multi-band vertical antenna will give you excellent performance on all of the HF bands. Let you work DX even if you live on a tiny little lot, 160 meters through 10 meters. It's only 43 feet tall. Relatively short size will keep the neighbors happy. You can even tuck it into a group of trees or landscape it to make it virtually transparent to passersby and that nosy neighbor. You know who they are. It will also withstand years of outdoor use because the radiator is lightweight but strong aluminum tubing, and all of the hardware is stainless steel for corrosion resistance. And because it has a fast taper profile, it will withstand winds up to 92 miles an hour. Also features a high-strength insulator, and the DX Engineering exclusive tilt base is included. That makes it easy to drop the multiband vertical for service upgrades or bad weather. And the antenna requires a comprehensive radial system, and DX Engineering can supply you with the patented radial plate and the wire. The radial staples, too. Have you seen these? It's a staple. You staple the wire to the ground, and then the grass grows over it. No more digging trenches. Excellent, excellent. You'll also need to use a DX Engineering UN-UN antenna tuner and RG213 coax feed line. And DX Engineering sells the multiband vertical antenna separately, or you can bundle it in handy combo packages, several combo packages and all, so you can pick the one that has exactly what you need. Depending on the one you choose, could include the radials, the radio plate, remote tuner, UN-UN, assorted mounting solutions. It's all there for you at DXEngineering.com. And the MBVE is an excellent way to work HFDX without the need for a large Yagi or other directional antenna. And if you have questions, DX Engineering is always there to help you select the right components. They're in stock, ready to ship, and you can get on the air fast. And speaking of fast, nobody ships faster than DX Engineering. If you get your order in by 10 p.m. Eastern tonight and it's in stock, it'll be on a truck headed your way tonight. Proven products, expert advice, DX Engineering helps you shrink the globe. Grab your catalog or surf online 24/7, dxengineering.com/hamnation. And be looking for the new catalog soon. And DX Engineering, thank you so much for your support of Ham Nation. dxengineering.com/hamnation. Go there now or just after the show.
And we want to thank DX Engineering for sponsoring this episode of Ham Nation. And it was really good to see them this year in Dayton. They had a fantastic booth there. And we visited with Tim Duffy as well a little bit too, which is always a lot of fun. Well, I think speaking of a lot of fun, we need to get Dale in here now and see. Well, you didn't attend Dayton, but you've got some great stuff from Dayton, don't you, Dale?
I really missed it this year. Looking forward to it next year. Next year will be my 60th year as an amateur radio operator, so I just have to go to Dayton. That is the way it is. But tonight, we better jump right in, get things moving. We've got a lot of video. Tonight, it's all Dayton, all the time. And we've been preempting our Show Me Your Shacks for a couple of episodes now. We're going to do it again in order to make time for three timely Dayton videos from Dan in 9LVS. He was up half the night last night editing. I talked to him late in the evening, and he was only on his second one, hadn't finished it yet, and he did three for us during the past couple of days. So right now we're going to check out the Dayton Hamvention overview. Here's Dan.
Welcome to Dayton Hamvention 2015, which was held May 15th to the 17th. This year's theme, Homebrew Radio. The Hare Arena in Trotwood, Ohio, was full of vendors, starting off with ICOM, which was showing off the brand new IC7851, as well as the very shiny 7850 and 7700. Yaesu was showing off the FTDX9000D, as well as the FTDX5000, and for those of us on a more limited budget, the brand new FTDX1200. And for Kenwood, they had the TS990. Flex Systems was there, showing off their SDR radios, including the Flex 6700 and its remote control capabilities. Ellicraft was also there with their K3 and KX3. The ARL had their regular area, where they had all the different groups in the ARL represented, including Media Relations, Logbook of the World, VE Testing, and many more, including an area where you could buy ARL merchandise, as well as an area you could have your handheld checked out. And of course, Gordon West showed up in his short shorts and gave a very nice forum on how to be a ham radio instructor, as well as doing a little bit of meet and greet. Of course, what's Dayton Hamvention without the special event station, where they had people of all ages operating the radio? There was also an area where you could put pins in to tell people where you came from, and by the look of the map, this is definitely not a local hamfest. There was also some major vendors there, including DX Engineering, showing off all the amenities, including special parts that you can only get from DX Engineering, as well as Ham Radio Outlet, which had some great deals, and R&L, where you could get some great deals as well. MFJ had their entire line of products available, everything from a 24-hour clock to the Ameritron AL80B. MFJ has a wide line of ham radio accessories. And we really can't forget Bagali, with some of the best code keys ever made. Diamond Antennas, as well as Comet, had very good displays. And Krishcraft had their entire line of antennas on display. And if you needed a new tower, Roan was there to help you as well. And let's not forget about Batteries America, with every possible battery you could ever want. And the Wireman, with every kind of cable you could want. And then there's Quicksilver Radio, as well as Tower Electronics. And last but not least, let's not forget Tom, W5KUB at W5KUB.com, streaming the entire show. as well as Ted Randall and his QSO radio show. And that's Hamvention 2015.
Well, Hamvention is a extremely big deal for the Ham Nation hosts, too. And in our next video, Dan's going to capture the flavor of the packed house, that forum room at the Ham Nation Forum. That was Saturday morning.
An hour of fun from the Ham Nation crew. We thank all of you for being here.
Gordo.
Well, thank you, Robert. And you know, I think we need to know who they are.
Right on.
But you think we're going to go around the remit? No. We're going to do it as if a contest on what band? Let's see, how's our son today, doctor?
Sounds pretty good.
Okay, we'll do 10 meters. You're on 10 meters, 28,400. And I want to hear whose call sign we can make out the best. Ready? 1, 2, 3. Oh, there it is. That's called a tail ender.
It worked.
You did well. Well, welcome to our Ham Nation get-together. We're so happy to see you. Bob, what have we got today?
Well, we have some really special guests, and some of them we need to get up here right away because they've got other things. The first thing we're going to do is bring up our great, great contest DX gal. It's been one of the best additions, Valerie.
Valerie!
How are you?
Good. I love the Hamvention.
How blessed we are to have you on this show.
All right.
You've just added so much to it. And some of us that don't work a lot of DX, you just bring a whole new dimension, and I appreciate you being there every other week. And you're also now a big-time DJ on the radio. George is here. George, I didn't think you'd be here.
Hi, Bob.
You're supposed to be somewhere else, but thanks for coming, right?
Yeah, I've got a while yet. I don't have to be there until 2 o'clock. We'll be streaming Amateur Logic live from the ICOM booth from 2 to 4 o'clock. Got a lot of guests going to be there.
We really appreciate what you do for the show, because not only do you do all of this stuff with your smoke and solder, but he really kind of runs things, and that's really cool. I appreciate it personally, and I want to tell you how much fun that it is to have you with us. Well, you know, you and I, through the years, we keep finding really great people, and I think Don, I wish he was here to introduce Tamitha. Tamitha has been a huge addition, and I think you all agree. Dr. Tamitha. Come on up.
Got a pink mic just
for you. Let's see if that works okay.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for being here. And we want to tell everybody that you are such a great addition.
A lot of us want to know, with you standing that close to the sun, is it kind of hot?
I don't know. Do I look burned? Yeah, turn my hair red, right?
Yeah, that's great.
Oh, okay. For the physics side of things, because I am a space plasma physicist. I know that probably scares a lot of people, but it's just a cool way of saying I do weather in space.
is what we get from the youth. And I think that's a real thing to your heart also as a youth.
They are. Kids are our future. Carol Perry with Radio Club of America has done such a great job. And I know many of you have brought more kids into ham radio than we know about. Keep it up. We need more kids. So if you've got some exciting videos of kids making ham radio happen, action shots of the kids, and then audio that, if you want to come up on Skype, you can go ahead and do it that way. But we try and get away from our smiling faces and concentrate on neat things for eye candy. So make it happen. Let's get those kids involved, and we're looking for more kids in ham radio.
My big surprise is standing right over there. I want them to come up here.
Ah, yes. some very special kids. And I'm going to ask for their call sign. So get ready to give your call sign loud and clear.
KE0BDK.
Very good. And real loud.
I'm Anna, KE0BDJ.
Good job. All right. So now the big question is, what's the best part of ham radio for kids?
That you get to know other kids around the world, and that there's really no limitation to where you can go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Great. And you have a HF, high-frequency, long-range radio, and talk to other kids. That is super. Anna, what's so special about kids?
Well, my favorite thing to do is to call CQ, because then I don't have to call just one certain person. I can talk to anybody, so I can meet a lot of new people that way.
So if you're teaching a class, come on by, or if you're teaching kids, come on by. We're going to give you some free materials for you instructors to get more kids into ham radio.
That's what it's all about, isn't it?
That's it.
You
Thanks,
got it.
Bob.
Well, the Ham Nation Forum's a real big deal, and the crowd loves it every year. But Dan has captured something else at Ham Nation that many of you may have not seen or had the opportunity to see. That happens on Saturday, usually, when Leo Laporte brings Bob and Gordo and many of the other Ham Nation hosts onto his weekly This Week in Tech radio program. That program's heard on over 160 radio stations around the nation. Let's watch part of this year's event.
People I know, he's a doctor, Dr. Bob Heil. He's a ham. It's going on right now, Hamvention in beautiful Dayton, Ohio. And I thought we'd start the show as we do every year at this time by saluting amateur radio guys and gals all over the world. And let's start with Bob Heil, because he's wearing a crazy shirt. Hi, Bob.
Hello, Leo, and greetings to everybody. We're in Dayton, Ohio, which is the focus of ham radio this weekend, with people from all over the world. And I'm joined by some great people, our host for Ham Nation, our great show here on Twit, is Gordon West.
Yay.
And Gordon, how are you today?
I am fine, Bob, and Leo, good to hear you and all of your audience. We're here at Dayton.
A serious note of this, I'm joined by another doctor. This is Dr. Tamitha Scove. And Dr. Scove is a space weather person. Now, give us the real scary title.
Ooh, the scary title is Space Plasma Physics.
Ooh. I love her space weather reports every week on Ham Nation. It's so much fun to see what's going on with solar flares and all that stuff. I love that stuff.
Yeah, the sun and I are tight. We're just really...
Well, we are so blessed to have her join us, because what she brings to us is how we're going to communicate, and it's so important. And
being at Hamvention, there's tons of ham radio operators, and I just look at everybody here, and all I see are a bunch of people who deal with space weather every single day.
and some of them don't know it or realize it, right?
That not yet, but we're going to change all
That's
that.
That's right. Their side of it is some of us characters that like to work the long distances, and we have the queen of DX and contest is our great friend Valerie, who joins us on Ham Nation each Wednesday. How are you, Valerie?
Oh, I'm doing great, and yes, DXing and contesting is another aspect of the hobby that many people enjoy if you have a more competitive spirit and enjoy talking with people around the world or participating in contests. And they're like fun games for everybody.
Yeah, that's right. Well, we have a lot of fun working all of the people. We just had a big DX position. DX is kind of shortwave for the old CW operators, the Morse code. DX meant distance. And so when we talk about DX operations, we're talking about distance operations. We just had a big one that went to the island of Navassa.
Island of Navassa. It took 15 years to get a special use permit from the United States government, particularly the Fish and Wildlife Division. So these gentlemen who have a sense of adventure, they get to go to these deserted islands take generators and radios and antennas and operate the world from these islands all over the world.
And, we do that just so we get a QSL card, Leo.
From an island in the middle of nowhere that no one lives on. Bob, how many amateur radio enthusiasts are there in the U.S.? Is it a big group?
Yes, and it's growing every day. We're right now, the FCC, the last count was 780,000 in America. And we don't know how many.
2.6 million in the world.
Right.
Wow.
1.3 million of which are Japan.
Japan has a big contingency. But we grow every day, and a lot of it is because of Ham Nation. In closing, let me say, we wanted to have Mike with us. You know, every astronaut that goes up is a ham.
Oh.
And Mike, but he's doing a forum right now, but he couldn't be with us. He's upstairs. But we wanted to let everybody know that amateur radio is the secondary line of communications from all of the space shots.
Wow.
Think about that.
That's
a minute.
Cool.
Take ham radio up there in case something doesn't work.
Well, Dan, we can't thank you enough for that fantastic video and that timely Dayton coverage. I hope you catch up on your sleep tonight from last night. Dan will be back one more time in our next video segment. He has video coverage of the antenna forum at Dayton. Great shooting, great use of the tripod, great telescoping of time. Dan, you can send us some more videos anytime. Well, on the next video segment, we will present another Show Me Your Shack. If you'd like to see your shack, still got time to get some photos in, and we'll get them all in for you. It's time also to get your rigs tuned and your antennas tweaked. Got to join us for the Ham Nation High Frequency AfterNet Show Controllers as we put on a special event honoring the bicentennial broadcast of Ham Nation. That'll be coming up before you know it. This is episode number 197 tonight. You'll have a chance to win a personalized certificate. There's one there over my left shoulder, I guess, right shoulder to you. Anyway, that's it for this week. Do have a safe and memorable Memorial Day weekend. Right now, we've got to switch it out to Canyon City in Colorado. And Amanda is going to have questions from the chat room. Good evening, Amanda. Have you and Jeff got your antennas tweaked and tuned, and are you ready for that big special event?
Oh, I'm overly excited for this special event. And Dale, I know that you released a lot of information during Dayton. Why don't you go ahead and give us the rundown one more time? Tell us how we can get bonus points and how the special event's going to work, if you don't mind.
Oh, we can do that. We held it off on purpose until Hamvention, when Steve presented the information to the Ham Nation Forum group there. And basically, to start off with, to get a certificate, you only have to work four of the six one-by-one calls. That's W0, W1, W5, W6, W7, W9, and W0H. All ending with a suffix of H for Ham Nation. Now, if you can't work all four one-by-ones, but you happen to happen across to Bob, K9EID, or Gordo, WB6NOA, or Amanda, K1DDN, or Don, AE5DW, any of the group, any of the regular host, Christian, you get a point for that, too, so you'll earn the certificate. And if you get six of the one-by-one call signs in your log, you will get a special gold-plated certificate. Well, it's not gold-plated. It looks like it's gold-plated, but you can stick it on your certificate, and it shines. It looks good. So that's about it, Amanda.
Okay, and one more time, just sum it up for me. What are the dates of the special event, Station?
Well, the big event starts next week, one week from tonight, immediately following the Ham Nation broadcast. It'll be about 9 o'clock Central Time, about 10 o'clock Eastern Time. Don't know the Zulu time. I believe it's 0100 off the top of my head. It will go for 1 week, ends at 23:59 local time on the 3rd of June, or, and not exactly sure of the Zulu time off the top of my head, the next week on June 4th. So basically, here in the United States, it runs from May 27th till June 3rd. 1 week to give you a chance to work all those stations. Amanda?
Okay, and just to clarify, you guys are going to, all of the 0, 1, 9, all of you guys are going to be on as often as possible and on different bands as well, so we all have a chance to work you as best as
yes.
possible?
Oh, yes. Okay. Definitely, we want to try to work all of the bands. We've agreed sort of, though, to help out our people with technician licenses, that if 10 meters is on, we will try to gather on 10 meters and sort of coordinate it and spread out along the frequencies and try to give people with a technician license a chance to get a taste of high-frequency special events. So that should be a lot of fun. Otherwise, we'll be hanging around the normal frequencies for like 14268 and 7278 and 3847. Cheryl will be operating there on 80 meters during the event.
Very cool. Hey, and I got to thank you guys so much for jumping in and doing this for us. I appreciate it. And I can't wait to get on there and work a lot of people. Let's hope the thunderstorms stay away. So with that, thanks so much, Dale. I got a couple announcements here, and then we'll go to about one or two questions here. WA9MED Jim, he upgraded to General at Dayton this year. Way to go. KE0ARB Steve upgraded to Extra. And Rich, WB2GXM upgraded to Extra, and W5NSA Nick upgraded to General. And of course, Terry from DX Engineering, you guys already got to say congrats to her, but I'm going to go ahead and say it again. Congrats, Terry, for upgrading to Extra as well. I know that's a lot of hard work there. So little applause. No? Yes? Okay. with that, George, I do have a special question for you from Walt, W3DDT. He says, how valid are the expiration dates on rosin core solder? My 30-year-old 6040 rosin solder appears to be working fine. Do you think that's okay?
I think it's within the expiration date. And I don't recall ever seeing one on solder, but I haven't looked that close. I think, you know, as long as the flux inside is not dried out, if you heat it up and it solders and it sticks, hey, you're good to go. It doesn't matter what the date says.
Very good. Hey, I appreciate that. And Gordo, another question for you. What did you find to be the best thing at Dayton this year?
The best thing at Dayton?
Yes.
Was that the question?
Yes. Yep.
I would say the best thing I found at Dayton were the hams. They were so helpful. They were so nice. What a great fraternity we have in the ham radio service and the ham radio hobby. It's the hams themselves. They were the best. And I'll see you all out on the water this weekend. And remember, safe boating.
Very good. And I do have one more announcement, Gordo. Thanks for reminding me. The Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club is having a ham fest on Sunday, June 7th. And that's at Briarcliff College. So you guys, if you're interested in that, please Google Long Island Mobile Amateur Radio Club or LIMARC. Okay. And George, same question to you. What was the best thing at Dayton for you this year?
You know, I can't really pin it down to just one thing. I would say, you know, all the people that we met there. We met so many people and finally got to shake hands with them. A lot of new friends, a lot of old ones, too. And, you know, that's always a really big part of it for me. Of course, the flea market, you know, that's something I love, too. I didn't really get through it that far this time around. I never have been all the way through it, but we keep trying. One thing I do want to mention, though, is we had all these great Dayton videos tonight, and thanks to Dan for all the work he did on that. But if you didn't get enough, I've got another hour and 53 minutes worth over at AmateurLogic.tv. We recorded live there at the ICOM booth. We even had a little bit of Gordo in there for you. And while we were away just a moment there, I snuck on the bench here and I got out my spool of solder, and I don't see an expiration date on it. I do see a date of manufacture. So, you know, I think this stuff is good forever.
Forever. Okay, good to know. And also, thanks to ICOM for their live video from Dayton as well. We appreciate that. And I'm sure they had a fun time doing it as well. Well, hey, you guys, that's all the questions I've got for tonight and or announcements. And it's been wonderful to be here tonight. So I'll send it over to you, George.
Well, thanks, Amanda. We appreciate you running the chat room for us there, because there's always a lot of interesting stuff going on there. And hey, we can't watch it and talk at the same time or chew gum, any of those things together. But anyway, we appreciate you doing what you do every week. Also, Gordo, great to see you this year in Dayton. And boy, Christian, great to see you too. But Gordo, I don't know what to say. We just really didn't get to hang out enough this year, but we're going to try again for next year, and we're going to try to do the same with Christian and everyone else too.
I mean, I thought it was a cool
idea. You've got it, George. We'll take a sail together, and again, this is Safe Boating Week, so make sure everybody aboard has their PFD, and we'll see you out on the water, as well as in a moment on 7278 on 40.
Well, thanks to everyone for being with us tonight. Boy, another great show. Bob should be back with us again next week, possibly Don Wilbanks. So join us on one of the nets there. As Gordo said, 40 meters is on 7278. We've got the 20-meter net going at 14283. We've got Cheryl that's going to be on 3850 on 75 meters. Hey, we've got D-Star, hamnationdstar.net, if you don't have a D-Star radio. Or if you do, Reflector 14 Module C and Echolink, star do drop in, star, or node number 355-800. Thanks for being with us this week. We hope to see you all again next week. And from Jackson, Mississippi, and really worn out after a hamvention, 73.
And 73 from Southern California and the amateur television network that you see over my shoulder beaming signals right now.
And Semper Paratus, have a good weekend on the water, Gora.
I wish I had my boat horn right now. That I would so play it for you, Gordo.